Chuck Mangione. Much better mood today.
Yeah.
Much better mood today. What is going on, people? It is an F It Friday. Momo is in for John Ireland. And Adam Bronstein is in for Lindsay, producer Lindsay. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mace. Much appreciated.
Now, are you going to do Radio Tinder? Are you ready to do Radio Tinder?
I am getting ready to do Radio Tinder.
Excellent. Excellent. So we got that coming up for you a little bit later on in the show.
That's a lot of Star Wars.
A lot of nerd talk.
No, I'm actually staying away from the nerd talk.
I'm two episodes behind on WandaVision. Two episodes behind.
I still haven't watched the last episode they just launched today, so
no
spoilers.
I think it's really good.
Should I watch it? I haven't been watching it. I've been watching Ginny in Georgia, which is fun too.
WandaVision is really, really good. It's on Disney Plus. If you're a Marvel fan, it's sort of completely out of the box. It uses old sitcoms as a way to tell the story. It's pretty fascinating. All right, so Momo, in celebration of the All-Star Game, which is Sunday, we're giving away a Lakers Edition Papa Shot arcade basketball game. We're going to do that at 3:30 today with a dumb little game. So make sure you are here for that. You can turn your man cave or your garage or your living room into part of a Dave & Buster's. And All-Star Week is driven by Santa Monica Lincoln, your Los Angeles dealership for sales and service. Again, that's coming up for you at 3:30. So, All-Star, I've got the Dodger game. I've got the audio still running in the background. It's actually, I don't want to promote it, but Jess Mendoza's
like... It makes me feel like baseball's happening.
It's
right?
Jess Mendoza and he's coming on with us today. Carl Ravitch are doing the game today. I'm all so ramped up for baseball
now. Me too. Oh my gosh, Mace, I was talking to my friend Mandy last night. She's my spring training crew that we always go.
Sure.
And I can just we were looking at the fans sitting in the stands, and there's you have all of the whole stadium to yourself out there. And I just want to go. I can put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I mean, I just want to go see baseball so bad.
We should dig out the James Earl Jones where he says baseball. Baseball. He does the speech from Field of Dreams.
Come on, Crenshaw.
Come on, Crenshaw. You know, that's Jorge's dad.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, I love
dad
that.
Dad or grandfather?
No, it's your dad, right?
My dad, yeah,
Jorge?
My dad, yeah.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, Crenshaw.
Come on, Crenshaw. So I've got the complete minority view on something, Momo, and I want to dig into it a little bit today.
Okay.
So I looked at what the Houston Rockets did with James Harden, and they wound up with, in that deal, the primary piece, Victor Oladipo, right?
Yep.
And Oladipo has now said he's not going to sign an extension. He was offered an extension, which means they could wind up with a couple of draft picks, but with essentially no big-time talent out of that deal. Is that fair to say?
Pretty much. Yeah, and they could have had big-time talent. They had other options.
Yeah, so...
They could have had Ben Simmons. I mean...
Do you think that deal was actually offered? Do you think Ben Simmons was offered for James Harden?
100%.
And they turned it down, and Houston turned it down.
Yeah, they preferred this deal. They preferred the draft
picks. Wow, what a terrible deal. So the Houston Texans are now sitting with what I think is the third-best quarterback in the NFL, Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And he has demanded a trade.
Mm.
And I've been saying all along, if I was the Houston Texans, I would not trade Deshaun Watson.
Really?
I would not trade him. I would do everything I could to make him happy. Everything I could to make him happy. Hey, Deshaun, help us design the offense that we're going to use this year. We want you to shine. Whatever it took to keep Deshaun Watson, I would do, because in the end, the Texans lose that trade. No matter what they do, they lose that trade. They've traded a top five, arguably top three quarterback, and there's no way they can win it. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, let me think about this one. I think that when you have a franchise quarterback, and I think this is based off of me watching Tom Brady forever, okay?
Right.
that's the most important position on the field. And if you have a franchise quarterback, you should do everything in your power possible to surround him with talent. And you should never trade that quarterback if you can help it. Because the chances of you finding another one are, you know, really, you know, could be 5 more years, 10 more years. You can't just find another one. They don't grow on trees. Like, you have to get lucky in the draft like the Texans did. You know, they got him, what, 12th in that draft?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, how many quarterbacks are taken ahead of Deshaun Watson in that draft, and then they end up with the prize? And it's like, when you get lucky once, you cannot expect to be lucky again in the next 10 years. I mean, look at the Bears. Look at the Raiders. Look at all the teams that are just trying year after year to find a franchise quarterback, and they can't find him. And when you find one, you better do everything you can to keep him happy and to give him a chance to win, because they don't come around very often.
And he obviously was upset by two things. First of all, that they traded away DeAndre Hopkins before last year, or during last offseason. And they hired Nick Cassario, who was the player personnel guy for New England, instead of following what the search committee said or what the search agency said. They paid a whole bunch of money to a company called Korn Ferry to search out the best candidates. And they ignored their recommendations. Their recommendations were Omar Khan from the Steelers or Louis Riddick. Was the other recommended choice. Instead, they go with this Patriots guy. And the Patriots guy immediately describes Deshaun Watson as the player. Which is like the most impersonal, I'm just a pawn on this chessboard kind of way to describe Deshaun Watson. So I understand why he's upset. And by the way, he's dug in. If you follow me, Jorge, Jalen Ramsey from the Rams, who's got a relationship with Deshaun Watson, said this the other day about that situation.
When I was in Jacksonville, everybody, they were so mad at me. They probably still hate me because I wanted to put myself in a better situation. In the NFL, we don't have – it's not guaranteed that we're going to have super long careers. You know, we might only have a certain window to take advantage of and be the best we can and to make the money we can and to win a Super Bowl. Like, yes, we get our contracts and stuff like that, but everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. The great ones do anyway. We want to leave our legacy. We want to leave our print on this game. And I know for me personally, that was one of my reasons for wanting out of Jacksonville. He has to feel value. Everybody wants to feel value. He has to feel valued. And if he's not feeling like he's being valued and he's not getting a say-so, and that's thing that I've been talked about prior to this contract, and now it's a switch up, I would want out too. I would want to be in a situation where I could win immediately or in this gap. Because like I said, we got short careers, man.
So there's Jalen Ramsey, who was in the same spot and put his foot down and basically held out and said, no, he didn't actually hold out. He played.
He played. But it was ugly. Yeah.
But he demanded a trade. And ultimately, the Rams shelled out a couple of number ones in a deal to acquire him midseason. But if I'm the Texans, I'm going to Deshaun Watson right now and I'm saying, all right, there's some great wide receivers on the free agent market right now. Who do you want to throw to? A.J. Green? Allen Robinson, Deshaun Jackson, Marvin Jones. Which wide receivers do you want? We are going to give those to you because you're important to this franchise, and we are going to do whatever it takes to keep you and to make sure you're happy and to make sure you feel like you've got sway in this organization. Don't you think that's the smart play? Instead of just randomly trading him right now, which is what he's demanding, find a way to try to make him happy.
Yeah, I think you have to try to make him happy unless you can get another kind of, like, look, if you can trade him to Seattle for Russell Wilson, okay. But I don't think there's a trade out there that you can get equal value. I mean, it reminds me a little of when Kobe demanded a trade and Jerry Buss was like, okay, well, look, they had a couple of trades lined up, but every single one of those trades was not enough return for the star player. Like they wasn't going to leave them in a better place. And he just said, I'm sorry, we're not going to trade you. You're under contract, but we're going to do everything we can to get you. We're going to build more of a winner around you. And they did. They went out and traded for Pau Gasol that year.
Yep.
They made it happen. And I think it's like, it's different in football because it's more of an organizational thing. You have to have many more good players. It's not just like one guy. You can't just go trade for one player and your fortunes change. But I think that when you have a franchise guy, especially at that quarterback position, you have to do everything in your power to try to keep him happy. And to be honest, like, they've already lost. They've already messed up. They've already done too many things wrong. It's going to be hard to turn them around, but you have to try. And I haven't seen them try. Have they done anything?
No. Well, they did hire an African-American coach, which it's hard to know exactly what he wanted, what he was looking for. They ended up hiring David Culley, who is the offensive passing game coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, who is African-American. Some people thought he maybe wanted to play for Eric Bieniemy, but Bieniemy didn't get the job, and I don't think even got an interview with the Houston Texans. So maybe that was another screw-up in this situation. But the moment you trade Deshaun Watson, you've got to go out and find a quarterback to replace him, and he is not going to be even close to the caliber of Deshaun Watson. And I would say this, too. Everybody, I want to trade. The NFL season calendar hasn't even started for next year. Mm-hmm. There's no hurry in this process. Just because he wants traded now doesn't mean you have to trade him right now. If push comes to shove and you've got to move him, you do it in May, you do it in June. But in the meantime, you do everything you possibly can to make him happy.
Yeah, and I think, Steve, I like to think of you. Are you the star of ESPN LA? Like, do you feel?
Well, what do you think?
Yourself?
I do. I personally think so. Let's take a vote. Jorge, what do you think?
No comment.
Adam, what do you think?
Can I think about it?
Yeah, sure. Think about it. So
there's nothing to think about. Mace is the captain. He is he's the guy. That's LeBron. And to me, you do what LeBron wants.
Did Ramona really just compare Mace to LeBron?
Yes.
Did that just happen?
I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Mace keeps all the boats afloat. LeBron gets everybody paid. It's the same thing, okay?
Yeah, and I'm getting everybody paid.
Yeah. You do what Mace wants. If he wants you to get him a Trenta from Starbucks every morning, you get him a Trenta.
No, I would never do that. I'm not that guy. I'm not the get me a Starbucks guy.
No, you're not.
You're doing
like
it because he said you're his favorite fillet. Come on.
Yeah.
Jorge, no wonder she's number one on the co-host ranks.
Jorge,
always number one.
Am I the LeBron of 710 ESPN?
I will say more like the Jared Dudley.
Oh! A player's coach.
I am not Dud. Duds.
Did you say that? Did you really just say that? Woo! I mean, I like Jared,
that's a
too.
Tough shot. That's a tough shot.
Jorge spitting hot fire.
Dang! Yeah. That is
I'm moody.
Yes.
Oh, today it's Jorge who is in a bad mood. Somebody's always in a bad mood here on the show. By the way, it's F It Friday, which means you can call in and say anything about anything that you want.
Yeah.
You can ask us anything, 877-710-ESPN. If you get through and we put you on there, that means you win a Mason and Ireland T-shirt. So absolutely anything you got, you can react to this Deshaun Watson story. Again, as LeBron, I can make this decision, everything that we can actually talk about. Coming up next, Momo. Blake Griffin they've agreed to release Blake Griffin in Detroit. And my question is, does he make any sense at all for the Lakers? That's coming up next for you. 877-710-ESPN. Mesa in Ireland, Momo in for John, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, we're doing that at 3:30.
Woo!
What is up? It's F It Friday.
It Friday.
There you go. And I want to play, before we get to calls, I want to play something for you, Momo. So I think this was on TikTok. I believe it's on TikTok. So dad and kid go to store. And apparently, there's adult beverages at the store.
All right.
So I want to play this clip. This is dad and son on TikTok after they get back from the store.
I got you something.
What do you mean you got me something?
I did. Bourbon.
You took bourbon from them?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I know you like bourbon.
Don't you can't just pick? I mean, I do like it, but you can't just pick it from them.
But do you like it?
Oh,
but
man.
Do you like it?
Oh.
He's got a little backpack, and he pulls a big bottle of bourbon out of it.
Off the shelf at the
store. Off the shelf.
Shoplifted.
Exactly.
Wow.
Just because dad likes it. Just because dad likes it. Hey, so we mentioned Blake Griffin to the Lakers. I bet you're taking a minute here, Momo, but Jacob in Huntington Beach is on. Jacob, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Everything's good.
Hey, so listen, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Blake Griffin trade or the signing. And the main reason is where are you going to put the guy? You know, is he going to be happy coming off the bench?
Well, point in his career, he is a guy who needs to come off the bench. I mean, he was having a, you know, he's 12-5-4 right now. Oh, did we lose him? He's got 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists per game in Detroit in about 31 minutes per game. Momo, I don't think he is a top-line rotation player anymore.
No, I don't either. I think, look, Blake to me he's actually a very good passer. He's turned into a decent three-point shooter, a decent mid-range shooter too. He's actually always had a good mid-range game. He's kind of got that Carmelo Anthony mid-range game, but he's stretched out his range to three. But so if you need him to be almost like Marc Gasol, to be honest, like he can be like a good mid-range guy, good passer, but he doesn't have the same athleticism he did because his knee has never been the same. And I think, you know, what the Lakers need is probably more athleticism. They kind of miss that Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, verticality, you know, rim protector, et cetera. And that's not Blake.
And that is not Blake Griffin.
Yeah. So I think he goes to Brooklyn or Portland are the two teams that I've been here. Portland makes a lot of sense. They've had some injuries, like Nurkic has a broken hand and he would fit there. Plus Neil Olshey, the guy who drafted him, is the president up there in Portland. Sure. So that makes sense. But I think Brooklyn is a spot for him because and Brooklyn's going to be a spot for a lot of guys. Just watch out who they get on the buyout market. They got roster spots now.
The guy I love for the Lakers, and I think this is doable. I don't think it takes a lot to get him because he's really not playing right now. But it's Hassan Whiteside in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Hassan Whiteside is the kind of player that they need. I mean,
This
year he's not playing significant minutes, but last year he was blocking 3 shots a game. He was 12 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks a game. That's the kind of rim protector guy that the Lakers actually need. And I would imagine you could pry him away from Sacramento with you know, maybe a couple of second-round draft picks. Obviously, there are no number ones, but without touching the core of the roster, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't even know that you need to trade for him. I think there's going to be a lot. If I'm the Lakers, I just sit tight and see who gets bought out. I mean, P.J. Tucker is another kind of guy that –
Yeah,
that,
he would be great.
You know, he has had a terrible year. Okay, he's not good, but, you know, that's explainable.
Well, but he's a really good defender, and he does play down low.
And he's the kind of guy that, like, LeBron likes. Smart, good basketball IQ, can hit that corner three that the Lakers would, you know, that's what they need from. He can be a small ball 5 for them if they want to go really small. So I think there's just, you know, there's a lot of Andre Drummond is a guy that I think is
But
a
I don't
bellwether.
Think he's getting bought out.
No, I don't either. I think there's going to be a trade for him. So I don't
and you
think
can't
he's
trade for him because I think he's making $22 million a year. The Lakers can't make that
deal. Yeah, it'd be too difficult. No, he could be included. Like, there's certain teams. There's a couple of teams you got to watch, okay? So the Knicks are a very interesting team. They're $15 million below the salary cap, which means they can trade for somebody and not have to send any money
out. By the
way,
they're one game over 500.
I know. They're not bad.
God bless Ben Lyons. Yeah. It's finally his year.
And you can't go to games. But the Knicks are kind of interesting because they could do some of those. They can do some of those lopsided trades, you know, where you collect a couple of draft picks in order to take on some salary. And that's an interesting team to watch because they actually are in the playoff race. Like they should, they can get some guys.
Right
they can
now,
go make
I
a
think,
little run.
Right now, I think they'd be the four seed in the East
five?
If it all started right now.
Yeah.
Let's go to Manuel in Gardena. Manuel, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Mashonsky. Happy Friday. You know what I mean? Momo, happy Friday. So I would say on the Lakers scope, you are more of a KCP type because you can win us a game, definitely. But there's days where we're kind of questioning everything about it, you know?
So you think I'm inconsistent?
Yes.
That, I buy that. That hurts my feelings a little bit.
But high ceiling, Again,
high ceiling.
Sometimes you can be the game winner, the hero, if you will.
Yeah.
So one more thing I wanted to ask you guys or comment on. I'm not a big fan of the All-Star game unless it's East and West, man, because that's what an All-Star game is. Get All-Stars that represent both sides, in my opinion. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what. Give Manuel and Gardena Mason and Ireland T-shirt. Thank you for the call, Manuel, despite the fact that you compared me to KCP as opposed to the ultimate facilitator, LeBron, here at 710 ESPN. I think he's selling me way short.
Seriously?
Way short.
Way short. I mean, look, KCP did get paid this year, though. I will say that.
He did get paid. No question.
Not as much as LeBron, but, you know, he did get paid.
As for the All-Star game, I don't really see much difference between East and West and, you know.
I don't either. And I actually like the picking. I like that LeBron. I like that we had now every year that we've had the team captains pick teams, there has been some fun storylines that emerge from the draft and then percolate all year long. Like last night, the two Jazz guys got picked last.
Yeah, I know.
And that's going to be the whole year. We're going to be talking about, oh, they were the last pick. What's that about? A Utah slander, right? I mean, that's going to be like a storyline all year. Last year, remember Giannis talking about not taking James Harden because I want somebody who passes?
Oh. Right.
Every time there's some kind of trash talk or storyline that emerges from that, which is really fun.
And to sell up the All-Star game, last year was the first time they did that plus Elam. 24 target score thing in the fourth quarter, which I thought was really, really fun. They're using 24 again, right?
They're doing it. Yeah, they're doing it. I think that's like forever more. They're doing the Elam rule, right? And this is like the last big public event I went to last year. I do the sidelines for the radio.
Yeah.
And I don't get to do it this year. It's kind of, I mean, what would I even do? sidelines, okay? But that was really fun. It made the game exciting. And this year, you know, I just had a story. Remember I had to like duck out for 20 minutes yesterday to talk to the commish?
Yes.
This year, the big controversy is they're flying all the guys in on private jets. They say, stay at the hotel and don't leave. Meanwhile, the entire city of Atlanta is having a party, even though they're not supposed to. And it's just going to be a strange made-for-TV
event. Yeah, it's weird because all the players are being flown in on private jets, and then afterwards they're flying out on private jets to whatever destination they want to spend the All-Star break in. So conceivably you could go from get a plane, fly to Atlanta, and then have that plane take you to, I don't know, Cancun or Cabo after the All-Star break.
I'm not sure about that, though.
You're not sure about that? I thought I read that.
I think you have to stay in the quarantine protocol. Like, the break is like you still have to get tested all the time.
Oh, you still are in a bubble?
Yeah. Adam Silver said yesterday, he said, it's basically like a moving bubble. Like, they're just
–
like,
that's so
people
brutal.
Still have to get tested. And this is going to be really interesting going forward because, you know, right now we're talking about – you don't realize how many times these guys get tested. It's amazing. All the time. They have to go back to the facility at night to get tested. They got to go in the morning. I got to come in early. I mean, it used to be like you have to come in early for treatment. Now you got to come in early for testing.
Yeah.
Twice a day, three times a day sometimes. It's really, really intense. And so it's a break, but you can't go too far. I mean, or you got to at least get tested all the time.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. So really, you're just going home after the All-Star game and spending time at home in your bubble.
It's not really like it's a break. Yeah, everybody needs a break. It'll be good. People enjoy time, but they can't really do that much. And I think we've talked about this a lot about, you know, vaccine hesitancy or something, but that I think is actually going to be what's going to break things down. That's going to be the final push for people who are like in the league, at least who are hesitant about the vaccine. If you get the vaccine, and the restrictions are going to loosen up.
Yeah.
Like Adam said that in our interview yesterday. He said, if you get the vaccine, then if you're exposed to somebody with COVID, you don't have to quarantine.
Yeah.
Like that's a CDC.
Yeah, contact
guideline.
Tracing is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're tired of all these restrictions, you know, the sooner people get vaccinated, the better. Now they're not eligible yet. It's probably a month away from this
sure.
issue coming up, but
yeah,
that's coming.
All right. Coming up next for you. And by the way, 877-710-ESPN, the Dodgers deserve a lot of credit. Dodgers front office, Mark Guggenheim. No, his name's not Mark. Mark Walter from Guggenheim.
There you go. Yep.
Stan Kasten from the deserve a lot of credit. I will explain that coming up next for you. And I'll tell you a story about guys who use cats in their dating profiles. That's coming
That's
up.
That's a tease. Woo.
All right. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is up?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, when I do these little video looky promos that the station asked me to do, Momo, I've been doing them every day, but I do them from a different room in my house or a different place in my yard.
Yeah.
So the one I did today features two Steve Mason original paintings in the background.
I liked them. I thought you had skills.
Yeah, I mean, I went through a little painting phase in the 90s. I do that. I go on a run, and I started doing some painting, and three of them hang in the house now. Three of them.
Yeah, I know your phases, Mace. I've lived through them.
You know, I go on runs. It's called runs. I went on a terrible donut run.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
now, so last night I got I got to feeling really, really good, extra good
mm-hmm.
last night. And hit up Honey Kettle's fried chicken in Culver
oh,
City.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. I know these guys talk about Gus's a lot. Gus's doesn't deliver.
But Gus's Adam, is still amazing.
Yeah. Have you tried Honey Kettle's?
No,
no, but
I have
I
not.
I want that right now.
Oh,
jeez.
So friggin' good. Over on this side of town, so friggin' good. Honey Kettle's, completely unsolicited. Awesome, awesome food.
I'm still stuck on Mace like having a painting phase. I can just imagine him with a Bob Ross afro and just, you know, like
a little tree
in the background there.
I wore a little beret.
So what was your, when you're painting those things, like what were you trying to say with that art?
No, that's open to interpret. I don't
okay.
tell you what I was thinking. I'm not telling you what
I was thinking. Well, at least we know Mace is consistent in his ego.
You're supposed to take it in. You're supposed yeah. to take it in and decide what it's about for yourself.
They're very vibrant. I like them.
I went really yeah. big. At Venice Mace, if you want to see what those look like. So, Momo, the Dodgers, there's a big piece on ESPN.com today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the Dodgers and how much money Mark Walter has invested into this team.
Mm.
So you remember when they took over the stadium in 2000. What year was their first year?
I think it's been 9 years since they owned the team.
So 2012.
That sounds right.
Approximately.
Yeah.
The first thing they did, and you would never touch the outside of Dodger Stadium. You would never
yeah.
touch the classic nature of Dodger Stadium. It's the third oldest ballpark in the league, but it is absolutely beautiful. I love that 60s mid-century thing they got going on.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
they didn't touch the outside. But what they did do is they put $100 million into widening concourses, adding space, creating more opportunities for restaurants and more opportunities for loungy kind of stuff.
Thank God.
And they opened that up. You know, that was their very first move, was to expand the stadium, which mm-hmm. is beautiful. Dodger Stadium is now beautiful to be inside and to be around. Now, it turns out this year, and I wasn't paying attention to this, they signed Trevor Bauer, and I think the contract is about $40 million. They are now at $245 million in payroll. Mm. That is way above the luxury tax threshold, and it's 26% more than the next biggest payroll, which would be the Yankees. They are willing to spend on players. And what I've always said about Andrew Friedman took his act from Tampa, state-of-the-art stuff. And I said, what can Andrew Friedman do with a budget? And now we see exactly what that looks like. We see what it looks like when that analytics mind and that analytics approach is combined with a $245 million payroll. This team is absolutely spectacular. And by the way, Joe Davis is going to join us coming up in the show, voice of the Dodgers. And Tim Kirkchen is going to be coming on. We'll get his perspective on where the Dodgers are in the hierarchy of Major League Baseball. Joe Davis is going to join us at 2:30, and Tim Kirkchen is going to join us at 3. So a big baseball hour there. Momo, they're willing to spend.
Yeah, and nobody else is. I mean, that it's them and the Padres who are willing to spend, and that's about it. I love this stat in Aldin Gonzalez's story. Their $245 million payroll is 26% higher than that of the second-place New York Yankees and the only one on pace to exceed baseball's luxury tax threshold.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, you know, but here's the thing that I care about, okay, and somebody who goes to games, the elevators work now.
Yeah.
And there's escalators and connecting bridges. I mean, like Dodger Stadium to me is the best ballpark in baseball. You can talk to me. Go ahead, Wrigley. Go ahead, Fenway. Whatever. Dodger Stadium is better. It's beautiful. It's up. It's in those foothills. You see the mountain. There's nothing better than the view from the top of the park at the beginning of game, and you see out all over the city of Los Angeles. I don't think there's any better. And it's more comfortable. If you've ever been to Wrigley or Fenway, I mean, like. I mean, half my butt fits in those seats. My God.
Right.
It's like made for, I don't know who these people who consider, it's not comfortable. Neither of those parks are. Dodger Stadium is comfortable. It's nice. The only thing that's wrong with it has just been the width of the concourses, the elevators, escalators, all that stuff. And they fixed it finally. And it was supposed to be fixed for last year, but you know, there's nothing else and all that. So we get to see it. Soon.
Yeah, it's fantastic. By the way, Jorge compared me to Chris Dudley. I'm the Chris Dudley of 710 ESPN.
No, Jared Dudley?
Jared Dudley. Cousin, not yeah. Chris Dudley would have been even worse. Jared Dudley's not bad. Jared Dudley, Freddie Prinze just texted me, Dudley ain't bad, man. He could have said Smush Parker. That is true.
Oh, way to go, Freddie.
He took a shot at you.
He could have said Smush.
Yeah. I mean, Mace, to be honest, I might be in agreement with some of the listeners because I'm the Lakers broadcast producer, and like, we get listeners to call into the postgame show, and when they're unhappy, they kind of let loose. A lot of times they let loose on KCP for going missing at the worst possible time. To be honest, that's like you. You go missing at the most important times sometimes. Oh.
I never go missing at the most important times.
Everything.
I have not taken a vacation since February.
I guess we don't count the mental health days as vacation?
I haven't had any yet. I'm planning some, though.
I feel like I filled in for you several times.
Yeah, no, I do have mental health days. There are days I need. So
I applaud you for that. I think it's great.
Yeah, 877-710-ESPN. Unlike Kyrie, by the way, I tell people that I'm taking a mental health day. I don't just disappear.
I actually, to be honest, Mace, like I sound like I'm totally sucking up to you today. My gosh, I'm like...
Yeah, I love this. This show
I know.
Is so great
I'm not
today.
Meaning to do this, but I actually think it's one of the best things you do is acknowledge mental health and how I wish more people would do that and say they're taking mental health days because it's like, it's true. People need that. And it's one of those things that I always talk about with the Warriors. When they had their run, their dynasty that they had, Steve Kerr used to have people do that. He would say on your off days, I don't want to see you. Go home, be with your families or go for a walk. Go Klay Thompson, go play with Rocco the dog, go golf, whatever you got to do. Don't come in. Enjoy your life a little bit. Have a little balance. This is how we're going to get through it. This is what I wish more people would do that.
Well, and I've talked about it a lot on the show, but and in podcasts in a little bit more depth. But you know, I am diagnosed bipolar 1. It's something I manage. It's something I handle. It's something I deal with. And I always encourage people. I see see somebody that you could talk to, whether it's a shrink. You know, I talk to the shrink every two weeks, or a psychologist or whatever that is. And when you need a day, when you're run down, when you're aggravated, when you're depressed, when you're in my case, when I get too high, believe it or not, when I get overly amped up, I get very aggravated really easily. But I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a day. Nothing wrong with it.
Guys, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have a special caller calling into the show. Caller, would you like to introduce yourself to the gang?
George on a mobile, first time, long time. Momo, I heard you mentioning that you've been sucking up to Mace a little too much today. Well, here's something. Here's something that will help turn that around a little bit. And also, it's perfect because Mace just talked about when he's too high. You know, Momo, I don't know if you know this, but we played a fantasy league together where I traded Carl Anthony Towns and Chris Paul to Mace for a bunch of keepers. And then I find out 2 weeks later, Mace trades not only Carl Anthony Towns, but Bradley Beal for a broken Kevin Durant. Mace, how high were you when you made that deal?
Well, you know, this is a hard trade to describe, George, because Kevin Durant is a keeper for next year.
Right.
Carl Anthony Towns is not. Kevin Durant is a third round pick, which means I get first round value with a third round pick. That's why I made the deal, George. That's why I decided to do it.
Mace, you traded two first round guys in Bradley Beal and Carl Anthony Towns for a broken Kevin Durant, perhaps.
Yeah, by the way, you say that.
I don't hate that deal. I don't hate that, George. Like, Carl Anthony Towns has barely played this year. And the Timberwolves, like, to me, he's had a lot of little nagging injuries. And Bradley Beal, yes, leading scorer in their league, but hasn't been. I have him on my fantasy team. He's good, but, like, not filling up the stat sheet. Whereas, like, I think KD, when he comes back second half of the year, as they make that playoff push, he's going to fill it up. I don't hate that.
How many games, if you had to assign a percentage, and don't aggregate her because we're all guessing and having fun.
Yeah, we're all guessing, right.
How many games do you think Kevin Durant plays the second half of the season, if you had to guess a percentage?
Percentage, I'll say 65-70%.
That's it?
Yeah, that's bad for Mace. That's
all bad. Is it rotisserie or is it week to week?
Rotisserie.
That's not as good.
Yeah, it's not.
How about in your league, by the way? No one ever invites me to play in their fantasy league except for Mason. Maybe that's why I'm sucking up to him.
It's such a bad league. Trudell is such a little tyrant.
He is a little tyrant.
So many rules. Good Lord.
You know, I hear this from everyone about Trudell. Like, he's like a real stickler, huh?
Oh, he is a real stickler. If you make a trade, it has to be approved by Trudell.
Wow.
And he has vetoed some trades. Like George, you can say that deal was a mistake. Maybe that deal was a mistake.
Yeah.
But at least Mike Trudell didn't stop it. Like, I want to make my own mistakes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, if I goof up, I want to goof up.
Mace, how about this? How about you and I join forces and create a team next year? How about we just open a spot for next year and you and I do it together, the Alliance. We can call the team the Alliance. That way, when you're high and you try to make a bad trade, I'll stop you.
Okay, with all due respect, George, my team is in sixth place and your team is in 12th place. Why would I want to team up with a 12th place team?
Right, because last year, in the two previous years, I kicked your butt.
Dude, what have you done for me lately? That's my point. What have you done for me lately? All right. Hey, Sedano, aren't you getting ready for your show right now?
I mean, I'm driving back. We had Prime Time Around the Horn today.
Prime Time
Horn going to be on at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern today because we got a bunch of baseball games on. So
cool.
I keep waiting for Tony Reality to call me and say, you know, we need a new voice. We need a fresh voice on Around the Horn. Is that happening, George?
I mean, I don't know, Momo. What do you think? Fresh voice? Mace? I mean, look, we already got a lot of L.A. people. You know, Mace, I don't know.
So, George, I think the most important question that we can ask you while you're driving, wherever you're driving, is, Jorge compared him to Jared Dudley. Bronny is not going to make a comparison because he's like a boss and he shouldn't do that. Could end up in some files.
Oh,
someplace.
Please.
Who do you compare Mason to? Like, who on the Lakers is Mason? I said LeBron. Jorge says Dudley.
Like, there's a pretty big swing.
Yeah. I will go in the middle. Normally, in the past, I've said Mace is the most important person on the station. I do believe that. But because he has a like Anthony Davis, a little bit of an injury history.
Ah.
Anthony Davis on this one.
Okay.
A little bit more.
I don't know. We got listeners saying
time.
KCP, which I think is very apropos.
Casey, no, I'm not as no, inconsistent as KCP.
You do go missing like he does, though.
Oh, man. All right. Hey, listen, Sedano, we will be listening this afternoon. Sedano, LZ, and Cap at 3:55 sharp. Thanks for ringing in, man.
All right. Take care, guys.
Cool. I didn't get to the guys that use cats in their dating profiles. Got that coming up for you. Plus, Joe Davis is going to join us at 2:30. Tim Kirkchin's going to join us at 3. And we're giving away a Lakers edition arcade-style Papa Shot game at 3:30 today. Make sure you're listening at 3:30 for your chance to win. It is All-Star Week, driven by Santa Monica Lincoln, your Los Angeles dealership for sales and service. 877-710-ESPN. Mesa in Ireland, this is 710 ESPN. Hey,
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. If it were not for you, we would not be able to do this dumb show every day. Let's jump out on the phones to Solomon in Lake Balboa. Solomon, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, I'm good, guys. You know, you were talking about the Dodgers and what some would consider like a bloated payroll. There's been other fans saying, well, you know, this is not the O'Malley days. They're buying a championship, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? So what if they're Yankees West? This is big-time baseball now. The O'Malley days are long gone, and this is Hollywood. Big lights. You got to do big transactions. You're correct about Andrew Friedman. He's got the dough now, so he's going to go with it. You know, he's not in Florida anymore, so I have no problem with the directions the Dodgers have gone in. Bring on the championships. Fine.
Yeah, bring them on. Hey, Solomon, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I don't hear people complaining about being Yankees West. Like, that's what I anticipated when all this money from the Guggenheim Group and Mark Walter came into the party. I did not want the Frank McCourt era where it was nickel-diming everything. I wanted to be Yankees West. And I think, you know, frankly, the Yankees probably now want to be Dodgers East.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that the highlight of the modern Yankees era was when they had all those homegrown guys, when they had, you know, all the guys who came up through their own system and had 10, 15 year long careers. So they had this great period of dominance in the AL East. Well, that's what the Dodgers have right now. Like that's how you build winners. You build these guys up from your farm system. You have a good young core, and then you supplement with trades and free agency. That's what the Yankees did for years. That's what the Dodgers are doing right now. You just have to do it smart. If you overpay and you try to do it all through free agency or all through trades, it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Dodgers roster, Will Smith obviously came up through the organization. Max Muncy, they grabbed off waivers, I think, from the A's. Chris Taylor, they grabbed off waivers somewhere.
Yeah.
Gavin Lux comes up through the organization. Edwin Rios comes up through the organization. Corey Seager comes up through the organization. Cody Bellinger comes up. Walker Buehler, Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, Kenley Jansen. These are Brusdar Graterol, Julio Urias. They augment an unbelievable young core that has come through the organization with some premier free agents. In this case, you know, Mookie Betts made all the difference last year. Whether he's hitting or whether he's not hitting, he's making an unbelievable throw. He's making an unbelievable catch. He's stealing a base. Same with Trevor Bauer now. You've got the reigning Cy Young Award winner from the National League last year in your rotation as your number three starter. I mean, so in addition to having a great young core, they've gone out and they've added big pieces.
Yeah, they've added the right pieces. And the other part of it is they haven't traded the wrong pieces, right?
Like, right.
There were so many trades along the way where, you know, the Dodgers did make some big trades at the deadline, and they would trade away, you know, a couple of good prospects here and there. But they always knew which guys to hold on to, the really special ones to hold on to. They always traded, like, their second or third best prospects.
Very few guys, you're right, very few guys that they have traded have gone on to be successful somewhere else.
Yeah, or they've had moderate success. Like, Verdugo's been pretty good. Alex Verdugo's been pretty
Verdugo
good.
Yeah, no, Verdugo and I think Jeter Downs, who got traded in that deal too, are both going to be major league players. That's what they had to trade for Mookie Betts, but we get Mookie Betts.
Yeah, so, like, they've made good trades, but they haven't done those. There's been no Pedro Martinez trade. Right? There's
correct.
Been no, like,
for Delino DeShields, I remember
Delino
the night.
DeShields. I mean, you know, Fernando Tatis, like, that junior, right? He was a trade with the White Sox for some aging pitcher. Who was it? I can't remember who the pitcher was, but obviously that has not worked out.
Right, right, right.
I mean, it's you got to know which guys are the special ones to hold on to and which are just the good players.
Yeah, and their ability to evaluate has been incredible. I mean, I remember times when people said, didn't know who Corey Seager was. He was in the minor leagues, and they said, trade Corey Seager for Cliff Lee or whatever that particular summer's hot free agent was. Or trade that Cody Bellinger kid that we've never seen play. For some fill-in guy that you need for the year. Julio Urías. Yeah, can you imagine having traded those guys? All right, before we got Clinton Yates coming up here in a minute, but I wanted to bring this up. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. It is no secret straight guys often use pets to get dates. But according to a new study, because, you know, you walk your dog. Your dog is cute. It's a great icebreaker with a woman, or in my case, a guy. According to a new study, first reported by the Wall Street Journal, dudes need to ditch their cats in their dating profiles. The study featured in the peer-reviewed journal Animals, and amazingly titled Not the Cat's Meow, The Impact of Posing with Cats on Female Perceptions of Male Dateability, found that heterosexual males posing with a cat in their photos were viewed as less masculine when holding the cat, higher in neuroticism, agreeableness, and disagreeableness, and openness, and less dateable. That's according to 1,300 women. Match.com even backed it up. Rachel D'Alto, Match's chief dating expert, told the Wall Street Journal that straight men had a 5% lower chance of landing a like on their profile when it was revealed that they had a cat. So even mentioning that you have a cat, you have a 5% lower chance of landing a like. Dogs give straight and gay men a 20% higher chance of scoring a like. So posing with your dog, good. Telling whoever on your dating profile that you have a dog, good. Showing yourself with a cat or mentioning you have a cat makes you officially less dateable, and now there is science behind that. I totally get it, by the way. You have a cat.
Do you have a cat? Tell me about it. I have a cat. I've always had a cat.
I don't dig cats.
So tell me why.
You have no dog, right?
No, but so to me, I think I have an appreciation for dogs. I think I don't like hate dogs or anything, but I prefer cats because I just like the cat energy more. I feel like cats are more independent. They don't, you know.
They don't care about you. Your cat doesn't care about you.
She cares. She cares. She's kind of like a cat dog. She runs. When I come
she cares
the door,
about
she
the
runs.
Food.
Yeah, all she wants is the food. It's like the cat, you walk in the door and the cat goes, she's here again.
No, the cat runs to meet me. She runs. She runs over.
Really?
Yeah, she runs. Like, literally the door cracks. She hears us coming. We open the door and she runs, but that's all we call her.
So that's a cat with the dog mentality.
Exactly. She must have been around dogs.
Maybe she's just doing the bare minimum to get food or, you know, to get what she needs.
Oh, she knows how to get food. She has eaten my Del Taco burrito. She has eaten pizza. This cat is, listen, I adopted her. She was 23 pounds. Okay. She came from a hoarder situation.
Oh,
so
God. Some lady with 100 cats.
Yeah, and she was really fat. And so we had to put her on a diet. We got the special food. But she must have been around dogs because she's really snuggly. And she's a good cat.
What's her name?
Beans.
Beans. Beans the cat. Yeah. All right, there you have that. Hey, coming up next for you, Clinton Yates is going to hang out for a couple of minutes. Big baseball guy. Yeah. We'll talk to him a little bit about the Dodgers. I want to ask him about Deshaun Watson, bunch of stuff. 877-710-ESPN is the number. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.